We're starting tonight our second blessing blocker, and that's disobedience. And as I was studying this, I really came to the realization that when we think we are part of this world, Satan has won the battle in allowing us to be disobedient. But we have to understand we're not part of this world. We don't belong here. We do not belong here. And that all of a sudden makes a whole lot of decisions a whole lot easier. So after God created heaven and earth, he created Adam. Then he put Adam to sleep and he created Eve. And he said to them, "Don't touch the tree." Adam said, "Don't what?" He said, "Don't eat the forbidden fruit." Forbidden fruit? What forbidden fruit? "Hey, Eve, we got forbidden fruit." "No way, where?" "Don't eat the fruit," God said. "But why?" "Because I am your creator and I said so." God was wondering why he didn't stop with the elephants. A little bit later, God saw the kids having an apple break. And he was angry. "Didn't I tell you not to eat the fruit?" "Uh-huh. Then why'd you do it?" "I don't know." "She started it," Adam said. "Did not. Did too. Did not." Having had it with the two of them, God decided he would give them their punishment. He allowed them to have children. But seriously, disobedience started in the garden. And it is so clear in Scripture what being obedient is and what being disobedient is. But I'm going to tell you, Christians can mess that up about as much as you would ever want to believe. And I don't know about you, but I am a master rationalizer. Yeah, I can just about rationalize anything that I want to do. And that really is just the work of Satan. And we're going to find out a couple of things about obedience. And that is, as we study this, God has so much he wants to just pour into our lives. We're going to find out he wants to bless every area of your life. Every area. He leaves no area undiscussed in Scripture about how he wants to bless it. None. But a lot of us are walking around struggling. And we're going to find out a couple of things. Number one, delayed obedience is disobedience. If God tells you to do something and you're going to do it next week, that's no different than you telling your kids to take care of the laundry and they wait till next week to do it. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The second thing we're going to find out is partial obedience is disobedience. They're both disobedient. And then, obviously, just doing exactly what we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it, and just saying, "Well, I am under grace, so it's okay," is disobedience. Now, I do want to talk to you about this because I don't want to minimize grace in any way, shape, or form. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's absolutely nothing you can do for your salvation. It is a gift from God, paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? That's grace. When you are walking and you make mistakes and you fall down, and he will pick you up. That is grace. When you are living out the Christian life and you just need God's touch in your life, that is grace. This has not to do with grace. This has to do with the abundant blessing that God wants to pour into his children. And you will know there are people who are walking in the blessing of God and there are people who are not. Grace has saved them. Grace is taking care of them. But God, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, that you may have life which is given to you by grace and then blessing on top of it, that you may have life and life more abundantly. And yet we all are alive if we've accepted Jesus Christ. And he is saying, there's a way you can have the abundant life. And we talked about getting fear out of our life, to identify fear, to recognize fear, and to get it out of our life. And now we're going to talk about disobedience. Disobedience, go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to see right where the disobedience all started. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 17. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Please understand, disobedience brings a curse. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 a little later this evening, but it lists very, very clearly that obedience brings a blessing and disobedience brings a curse.
Amen.
And I want to, if I could, I'm speaking to me too. What we're going to find when we're talking about all of this blessing blockers. Something very interesting has happened while I'm studying this. And it isn't, blessing blockers do not stand alone. Understand they were disobedient because they were prideful. Understand they were fearful because they were disobedient. Understand that when you are disobedient and when you are prideful, it is difficult to forgive and you walk in unforgiveness. Then understand that all of that produces bitterness and selfishness. You've heard the joke. You've seen that a woman's brain looks like this. Anybody have ever seen this? Okay. A woman's brain looks just like this. There are all kinds of wires all the time, thinking about all kinds of things, feeling all kinds of things at the same time. You can be saying, I've got to go to work, I need to get the laundry done, I got to pick up the dry cleaning on the way home, I got to stop and get dessert because I have company coming over, oh, on the way home I need to stop by the bank. A woman's brain is just constantly intermingled all the time, isn't it? Y'all thinking like that? We do it every day, all the time. That's how we're wired. A man's brain. One straight line. One wire, straight across. That's how a man thinks. Okay? You can be running around like crazy, and they're watching a ball game, and they want something to eat, and they cannot find a single thing to eat because their mind's not on the kitchen, it's on the ball game. They'll open the refrigerator and say, where's the Pepsi? Close the door and say, we don't have any Pepsi. You go and open the refrigerator door and you hand them the Pepsi. On your way to pay the bills before you pick up something that you forgot to pick up before, so that you can get that taken care of before you go in to clean the bathroom. Okay? Woman's brain, man's brain. Right? Yeah. You all know that, right?
Yes.
Well, blessing blockers look a lot like a woman's brain. In that once you start down the road with one of them, you can't stop all the rest of them from tangling in there and becoming part of your issue. You know, it just doesn't work that way. We become disobedient a lot of times because we're fearful. Well, fear is a blessing blocker. And then we become disobedient because we're selfish. Well, selfishness is a blessing blocker. Pride's a blessing blocker. And then we say, oh my goodness, I feel so horrible for this way that I have been acting. And now you pile guilt and unforgiveness on top of it, which is another blessing blocker. And you just go around, and then you become afraid that what you are feeling and what you have done and how you're behaving is going to make somebody reject you. So now you throw fear into that, and it's just looking like a woman's brain all the time.
Amen.
And we need to have a man's brain when it comes to our focus, and it needs to be just like this to Jesus Christ all the time. We need to have a clear focus that goes straight to the cross every single time.
Amen.
So, next time you see this joke, it's on the internet, it's on TV sometimes, you think, okay, that might be true, but that's also blessing blockers and how I want to think when it comes to God.
Mm. That is good.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, having said that, we just saw where disobedience started in the garden and they became cursed. Okay? I don't care how hard you are trying, if you are living under a curse of disobedience, you are going to take two steps forward and three steps back. It just doesn't work. You can try it your way, but I'm going to tell you the only way it works is to do it God's way. Okay? Now, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. It's behind Deuteronomy. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay, we're going to start with verse 17. Samuel's talking to Saul. Saul has been anointed king over Israel. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, you did not become the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel." Please understand that. The Lord had already anointed him king over Israel. "And he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely,'" say completely,
"destroy
those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king." There's problem number one. He didn't completely destroy them. You see, partial disobedience is disobedience. "The soldier took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination.'" Now look, that's Satan. "And arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid. There's fear wrapped in there of the people, fear of rejection. So I gave in to them. Do you see how fear led to his disobedience? Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Now, please see this. See this very, very clearly. We rationalize and we say, I'm not going to do what God has told me to do, but God will be pleased with me anyway because I'm going to do this really good. And it is very clear. You can have the anointing of God in your life and have it removed through your disobedience. And if Scripture tells you to do something and you choose not to do it, you can expect the anointing that is in your life, that is in every area of your life, to be removed. And a lot of us are struggling and we're saying, what is going on? And I want to explain to you, please hear me, please hear me. It is much better to obey God than to sacrifice. Amen. You cannot compare the two. You cannot compare the two. And we get caught up in doing our own thing, but we do it so spiritual that we think God's going to be okay with it. Look how spiritual I am. Well, of course I'm doing this for the Lord. Of course I am doing this. And you know what he is saying? He is saying, I am removing your anointing. And we do not want to be in a position where we are walking in disobedience, because when you are not walking with the anointing of God on you, you are setting yourself up for every attack that Satan wants to throw your way. This is very, very serious. I want you to go to Jonah. Jonah. It's a little book after Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Now, we all know the story of Jonah. Y'all did that song in Sunday school? Who did swallow Jojo Jonah? Who did? You don't know that? Oh, come on. Anybody sing that besides me and Rhonda in Sunday school? Thank you, Victoria. You redeemed us. Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Verse 1. Look, I want you to see that at the very beginning. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God was speaking to Jonah. Everybody's got that, right? Okay? How many of you have heard the Lord speak to you?
Yes.
Of course you have, because you've read your Bible. Every time you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Okay. If you read the whole book of Jonah, you'll find out that he wanted to go to Tarshish to preach. You see, he was running away from where God wanted him to go. And he was saying, I'll do what you want me to do. I'm just going to do it where I want to do it. You can't expect me, God, to do what you are telling me to do. I'll do the work. I'm just not going to do it there. Do not make me go there. And then what we do is we go and we do it somewhere else, and it's a failure in every sense of the word, because we think that as long as we're doing it, God is pleased. God's not pleased. He wants us to be where he has told us to be and to stay there. A lot of people have the Jonah syndrome. A lot of people. I had a lady come to me and she said, you know, I know God wants me to be a godly wife, but he's told me to leave my husband for another man. And I said, he did what? And she said, he told me to leave my husband for another man. Now understand, he's a Christian and we're still going to have a Christian home. And I'm still going to raise my children in a Christian home. And I'm still going to take them to church. I'm still going to do it all right. I'm just going to do it with him instead of with him. And I said, well, you might as well just take your children's hand and walk them right to hell, because that's exactly what you're doing. It does not matter what your plans are. I am here to tell you that God does not want you to go live with another man. That wasn't God speaking to you. That was yourself speaking to you. Ladies, gentlemen, God, when he tells you to do something and he tells you where to do it, just go do it. It's the best place to be. But Jonah had gone below the deck. Oh, I missed a part. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that his ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship. Now, I want to stop there for a minute, and I want you to hear something very, 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 very clearly. This is so important that every single one of you hear this. Your disobedience doesn't just affect you. It affects everything and everybody around you. Please do not think you can be disobedient and it will not impact your people you work with, your family, your finances. It will impact every single thing. We're going to see these soldiers had, or these sailors had nothing to do with Jonah's disobedience, and they had to throw everything they ever owned overboard. And as it turned out, they knew Jonah was on there disobedient, and Jonah was down there sleeping, and they were throwing everything they owned overboard. They were being destroyed financially because of someone else's disobedience. Amen. It affects everybody around you. The sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What did you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And he answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and land. This terrified them, and they said, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. Huh. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down? Pick me up and throw me in the sea and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. They took Jonah and threw him overboard. Verse 17, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. There's a lot of you that are inside the fish. And he is just waiting for you to say, I will be obedient. And he will allow the fish to spit you out on dry land, and you can receive the anointing again.